Last time I said we'd take a little break. We've looked at some informal fallacies. I've tried to explain what each one does, but it might help you to see some arguments that actually commit these fallacies, and maybe surprisingly too. Here's one. It's on the board here. It's a proof of God's existence by Thomas Aquinas, the theologian who lived in the 13th century. And let's go through it and make sure you understand all of his premises. It starts with premise one. Some things are such that they can exist or not. All right. No problem there. I think most of us experience the world. We can hardly think of anything that couldn't exist. That does, but could possibly not exist. Premise two says, whatever can possibly not exist must at some time not exist. Thomas has a reason behind this. His assumption here is called the principle of sufficient reason. The principle of sufficient reason goes like this. For everything, there must be a cause or explanation. For everything, there must be a cause or explanation. And what the reason this assumes it is that he takes it that if there is something that can fail to exist, that's because there's no cause for it to continue to exist. If there were, it couldn't cease. The only way it could be the kind of thing that can fail to exist if there's no sufficient reason for its existence to persist. But then if there is no reason for that, it can't be. Because everything must have a cause or explanation. So then he draws from that premise three. If all things could fail to exist, then at some time they would all fail and there'd be nothing. Premise four, it's absurd that there's now nothing. Therefore, not all things can fail to exist. From which he draws a further inference. There is something that cannot not exist. And then he ends his argument, as he does all five of his, et hoc dicimus est Deus. And this, we say, is God. Now, of course, it's true that people who believe in God, Jews, Christians, Muslims, all believe that God cannot not exist. That's right, God is self-existent. Self-sufficient. But whether this is a proof that there is such a thing is another question. And I don't know if you caught this, but one of the fallacies we already covered is committed in this argument. It's in premise three. It's not the only mistake in the argument, but let's start with that. Premise three, if each and every thing could fail to exist, then the class of all things could fail to exist, and there would be nothing. That's the fallacy called composition. If each and everything has this characteristic, the group as a whole must have the characteristic. Why couldn't it be that each and everything can fail to exist, but there is always something, because before the things fail to exist, they produce other things, which then produce other things, and we could have a self-perpetuating string of things, all of which could fail to exist, but there would always be something. He hasn't given us any reason to think that's impossible or wrong. And there's another mistake here. From the fact that not all things cannot exist, even if we take that to have been proven by 1 through 4, even if that's true, it doesn't follow that there's one particular thing that can't fail to exist. The best we could conclude is that there is at least one thing. At least one thing that can't fail to exist. And we wouldn't be allowed to add, and we call these God, because we don't know how many there are or which ones they are. That's a jump from not all to there's a particular one, at least one. Well, there's a lot more that can be said. People have been arguing over this one for a long time. But I thought you'd like to see another example of a proof of God's existence that came along about 375 years later. It was offered by a pretty bright fellow, René Descartes, the inventor of the analytic geometry. Descartes' first love was mathematics, but he was crazy about philosophy too. And he wrote a book in which he gave three proofs of the existence of God. We're just going to look at one. And the first premise of that argument is going to be the one that I said Thomas assumed, Thomas Aquinas, in the last argument, the principle of sufficient reason. For everything, there must be a cause or explanation. This is offered without any proof. It's supposed to be self-evident. But there are people that have questioned and rejected it. Most people, however, have held some version of it. God, by definition, is infinitely perfect. I'm going to put the sign for infinity. But you have to understand that this does not mean God is infinitely big, infinitely perfect. What does it mean to be infinitely perfect? Well, it means, in Descartes' argument, it means that God has all perfections. All the perfections are true of God. And only perfections are true of God. What's a perfection? Well, it's the maximal degree of some characteristic that makes something better to have it than not. So the highest possible good, knowledge, power, justice, love, mercy, kindness, sympathy, you can go on and on. The maximal degree of those are what's true of God. God has maximal intelligence, maximal power, maximal wisdom. And there may be an infinity of other characteristics of which God has a maximal degree and we don't even know about them. But whatever perfections there are, God has them. That's what he means by this definition. Okay. There exists, in my mind, an idea of infinity. This idea exists in his mind. Defining God as the being with all the perfections, infinitely perfect, doesn't mean God exists yet for Descartes. That's just an idea. But the idea exists in my mind. Now, here's where he pulls his... puts his argument over. I almost said it pulls a trick on you. I think that's more accurate. Here's what happens. There exists in my mind an idea of infinity. The idea has to... Oh, wait a minute. There's one more. I shouldn't have put the line there. Causes are always equal to or greater than their effects. So you could have a cause with more energy, more power, more light, more heat, whatever it is, more than what is in the effect. Or they can be equal. But you can't put in 10 units of heat and get out 20. The effect can't be greater than the cause, that in the sense being there being more of that of the cause in the effect than there was in the cause itself. That's what he means here. And here's what he's doing. He's telling you there's an idea in his mind that's infinitely perfect, the idea of infinity. According to the principle of sufficient reason, there has to be a cause or explanation for that idea in his mind. But causes have to be equal to or greater than their effects. So the cause of this idea in his head can't be him, because he's not infinite. It can't be anything else he knows, because he doesn't know anything infinite. So he concludes, therefore, there is an infinite cause for my idea of infinity. There's an infinite cause of that idea. And therefore, there's an infinite something. Something exists that's infinitely perfect, and that's God. I'd love to ask you what you think of this. You already know what I think of it, because I told you it commits one of the fallacies we just studied. Well, it does. And the problem lies in this expression, idea of infinity. Remember what infinite means? It means has all the perfections. He has an idea that there may be something with all perfections. But that idea doesn't itself have all the perfections. It's an idea that there might be something with all the perfections. But down here he says, there's an infinite cause for his idea of infinity. Why would his idea need an infinite cause? The idea isn't infinite. It's an idea that there may be something infinite. But the idea itself doesn't have infinite power, wisdom, knowledge, justice, goodness. So actually he treats this as though it means an infinite idea. The idea would have to be infinite to require an infinite cause. But just being an idea of infinity does not make the idea infinite. It's the idea of something else being infinite. It doesn't require this. He shifts from idea of infinity to infinite idea. That was pointed out after Descartes died, so he never had a chance to correct this or take it back or amend it. And it seems to me it's dead in the water. There's no way to rescue this. Shifts of meaning like this, this is called equivocation. Shift in the meaning of a term. And they can often be subtle and they can be very hard to spot. So can arguments that beg the question, can do so subtly and be very difficult to spot. But there's no rule for spotting them, right? These are informal fallacies that we're talking about. They're fallacies that don't break rules. They don't break modus ponens, modus tollens, disjunctive syllogism, or any of the replacement rules. But they nevertheless still mess the argument up and make it worthless. So even if you learn all the rules, you learn to symbolize arguments into our little shorthand, and you apply the rules, and you construct proofs, and you get good at that, it doesn't mean you'll always spot everything that can go wrong with an argument. It can still be non-rule-breaking mistake, like equivocation, composition, begging the question, and other failures like that. It's a shame, but it's the truth. Just makes things life a little harder. I have a few comments now to make about translation aids, and then we'll call it a day. Every so often you can run into some expressions that are difficult to translate and leave you a bit puzzled. In fact, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, that as you go on in this study and you memorize the rules and you gain facility with them and you are able to construct proofs, by the time you reach the final exam, you'll be convinced that you can construct a proof for anything, any argument put before you, if you could only translate it correctly. The translation gets harder and harder. Proving gets easier and easier. So these are some translation aids. What to do when you run into certain expressions. The first one is an acceptive expression. An acceptive, where you say none but or all except. Expressions like that. There's an old saying, none but brave deserve the fair. This means fair maidens. It means only the brave guy who's out and fights deserves to have the affections of the ladies. But how do you do none but the brave? You can't say, if brave, and you want to say only if brave. But you can't put brave implies deserves. Okay? That says if someone is brave, they deserve the fair. It doesn't say only if. None but. How do you make it do that? You take this and you turn it around. You flip it. This says if he's brave, he deserves the fair. This says if he deserves the fair, he's brave. So only those who are brave. Right? If he deserves, it's because he was brave. And only those that are brave. So you for the only if, none but, except for, and other such expressions, reverse. The order of the antecedent. And consequent. Of a hypothetical. If brave deserves fair, how do you make it only if? Switch them. That's tip number one. How then would you translate something that said, unless? About the sentence, no one deserves the fair unless he's brave. Now, there's an easy way to remember unless, because in Greek, when you once say unless, it puts together the two words that are the key to translating this. So, it's if not. Unless it means if not. I don't expect you to remember that. I just expect you to remember if not because I gave you a crazy thing to help you remember it. So if not brave, then doesn't deserve the fare is if not brave, then doesn't deserve the fare. If not. I think these acceptive expressions and the ones with unless give people fits and starts unless they tipped off in advance. So I want you to have that tip so as you practice you're not fooled by any of these. And what we need to do now is just a lot of practice exercises. And I'll be doing some in future videos. We'll take maybe a whole period, just go through example after example, make sure that you get accommodated to them, and then we'll add conditional proof to our list of rules. Conditional proof's not a new rule, it's just a way to use exportation, and then we'll learn to prove invalidity. And those are our next few sessions. I'll be devoted to those.